Canadá te está escuchando.
Thank you very much for tuning in to Latin Roots. Up next is the Screen Girls playing some great hip-hop underground stuff from around Vancouver, and hope you all enjoy. Thank you very much for listening.
Hey there.
Barev.
We're the Armenian Students Association, and we're here to bring together everyone,
Armenians and non-Armenians,
who are interested in learning about the Armenian culture here at UBC.
Find us on Facebook at ASAUBC to stay up to date. We look forward to seeing you at our future events.
have hair?
Do you want to help children in need? The UBC Cancer Association has an event for you. Cusford Cancer provides visitors with professional haircuts, with all proceeds going to the Canadian Cancer Society. With a donation of over 8 inches, the haircut is free. Hair donations are made into wigs for patients at the BC Children's Hospital. Last year, we raised over $65,000, but this year we hope to break $100,000. Help make our dreams possible this February. Check out the UBC Cancer Association Facebook page for more details.
This is Zach from Black Breath, and you are listening to the Flex Your Head show on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC.
Need to talk? AMS Speakeasy offers free, one-on-one, confidential, drop-in peer support sessions with trained volunteers. Our goal is to lend a listening ear and empower you to continue to strive towards wellness. Our services are available Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. during exam season. Support sessions can be requested at our desk on the main floor of the Nest or by ringing the doorbell outside our private space in room 3121. Learn more by visiting the AMS Speakeasy website. No issue is too big or too small. We're here to listen.
This is Zach from Black Breath, and you are listening to the Flex Your Head show on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC.
They bitch get a whole lot of loving.
Finally, I can move how I want it. I need pick the time and I'm zoning. You got me, I got you, and it's all that I need when I wake in the morning. Full of loving.
I'm fucked up. Take it home, do at least 100, baby. Driving in your new Mercedes that your daddy loaned us. Now it's time to take it home, do at least 100, baby. Driving in your new Mercedes that your daddy loaned us.
How many of us, how many jealous, real friends, there's not many of us, we smile at each other, but how many honest, trust issues, twist up the numbers, I can't be bothered, I cannot blame you, for having an angle, I ain't got no issues, I'm just doing my thing, I cannot blame you, for having an angle, I ain't got no issues, I'm just doing my thing, I cannot blame you, for having an angle, I ain't got no issues, I'm just doing my thing, I cannot blame me for having an angle. I ain't got no issues. I'm just doing my thing. Hope I cannot blame me for having an angle. I ain't got no issues. I'm just doing my thing. Hope I cannot blame me for having an angle. Ain't got no issues. I'm just doing my thing. Hope I cannot blame me for having an angle. Ain't got no issues. I'm just doing my thing. Hope I cannot blame me for having an angle. I'm just doing my thing. Hope I cannot blame me for having an angle. Ain't got no issue. I'm just doing my thing. Hope I cannot blame me for having an angle.
Parties in LA, no more parties in LA. Please, baby, no more parties in LA, no more.
Los Angeles.
Please.
Shake that body, party that body.
Please.
Shake that body, party that body.
Please.
Shake that body, party that body.
Hey, baby, you forgot your Ray-Bans, and my sheets still orange from your spray tan.
It was more than soft porn for the K-man. She remember my sprinters, and I was in the great van. Well, cutie, I like your bougie booty. Come here, come by do me. Well, let's make a movie. Hell, you know my repertoire is like a wrestler. Show you the rope, connect the dots. A country girl in North Hollywood. Mama used to cook red beans and rice. And I was Denny's form in the morning. Spoil your appetite. Liquor pouring and niggas swarming your section with erection. Smoking every direction. Middle finger pedestrians. R&B singers and lesbians. Rappers and managers. Music and iPhone cameras. This shit unanimous for you. It's damaging for you, I think. That pussy should only be holding exclusive rights to me. I mean, he flew you in this motherfucker on first class. Even went out his way so you could check in the extra bag. Now you wanna divide the yam like you'd equate the math. That shit don't add up. You're making them mad as fuck. She say she came out here to find an A-list rapper. I said, baby, spin around and say the alphabet backwards. You're dealing with malpractice. Don't kill a good nigga's confidence. Just cause he a nerd and you don't know what a condom is. The
head still good though. The head still good though. Made me say Lamio, they ain't get cured. Make a nigga say big words and act lyrical. Make me get spiritual. Make me believe in miracles. Buddha's monks and Captain Crunch cereal. Lord have mercy, thou not hurt me. Five buddies all hurdled up on the third day. Bottle service, head service, I came in first place. The opportunity, the proper type of breast and booty cheek. The pop community, I mean these bitches come with union feet. And I want two of these, moving units through consumer streets. Then my shoe release, she was kicking in gratuity. And yeah, G, I was all for it. She said, K. Lamar, you kinda dumb to be a poet. I'ma put you on game for the lames that don't know they're a rookie. Instagram is the best way to promote some pussy.
Scary. Scary. No more parties in L.A. Please, baby, no more parties in L.A. Friday night, trying to make it into the city. Breakneck speed, passage to see something pretty. Thinking back to how I got here in the first place. Second class bitches wouldn't let me on first base. A backpack nigga with luxury taste buds. And the Louis Vuitton store got all of my pay stubs. Got pussy from Beats I did for niggas more famous. When did I become A-list? I wasn't even on A-list. Strippers get invited to where they only got hired. When I get on my C-job, somebody gon' get fired. I was uninspired since Lauren Hill retired. And three stacks, man, you preach it to the choir. Any rumor you ever heard about me was true and legendary. I done got Lewinsky and paid secretaries for all my niggas with babies by bitches that use they kids as meal tickets. Not knowing that disconnect from the father, the next generation will be the real victims. I can't fault them, really. I remember Amber told my boy no matter what happens, she ain't going back to Philly. Back to our regularly scheduled programming. Of weak content and slow jamming. But don't worry, this one's so jamming. You know it, LA is so jamming. I be thinking every day, my holler, I need to put up some goddamn barricades. I be paranoid every time. The pressure, the problem ain't I be driving. The problem is I be texting. My psychiatrist got kids that I inspired. First song they played for me was about their friend that just died. Texting and driving down my Holland Drive. That's why I rather take the 405. I be worried about my daughter, I be worried about Kim. But Saint is baby Ye, I ain't worried about him. Had my life threatened by best friends with selfish intents. What I'm supposed to do? Ride around with a bulletproof car and some tents. Every agent I know I hate agents. I'm too black, I'm too vocal, I'm too flagrant. Something smelling like shit, that's the new fragrance. It just mean I do it my way, bitch. Some days I'm in my Yeezy, some days I'm in my Vans. If I knew y'all made plans, I wouldn't have popped the Zans. I know some fans thought I wouldn't rap like this again, but the writer's block is over. MCs canceled your plans. A 38-year-old, 8-year-old, a rich nigga problems. Told my wife that I hate the road, so I don't ever drive it. It took 6 months to get the Maybach. I'm at it out, and my assistant crashed as soon as they backed it out. Goddamn, got a ball fade, I might slam. Pink fur, got Nori dressing like Cam. Thank God for me. Whole family getting money, thank God for E. I love rocking jewelry, a whole neck full. Bitches say he funny and disrespectful. I feel like Pablo when I'm working on my shoes. I feel like Pablo when I see me on the news. I feel like Pablo when I'm working on my house. Tell them parties in here, we don't need to go out. We need the turbo thoughts, high speed turbo thoughts. Drop it like Robocop. She brace herself and hold my stomach. Good dick could do that. She keep pushing me back. Good dick could do that. She push me back when the dick go too deep. This good dick could put your ass to sleep. Get money,
money, money,
big, big money,
money, money.
And as far as real friends, tell all my cousins I love them. Even the one that stole the laptop, you dirty motherfucker.
I just keep on loving you, baby. And there's no one else I know can take your place.
Real friends, how many of us, how many of us, how many jealous? Real friends, there's not many of us, we smile at each other, but how many honest? Trust issues, switch up the number, I can't be bothered, I cannot blame you for having an angle. I ain't got no issues, I'm just doing my thing,
Hope you're doing your thing too. I'm a deadbeat cousin, I hate family reunions. Fuck the church up by drinking at the communion. Spilling free wine, now my tux is ruined. In town for a day, what the fuck we doing? Who your real friends? We all came from the bottom. I'm always blaming you, but what's sad, you not the problem. Damn, I forgot to call him. Shit, I thought it was Thursday. Why you wait a week to call my phone in the first place? When was the last time I remembered a birthday? When was the last time I wasn't in a hurry?
Tell me you want them tickets when it's game time. Even to call your daughter on a FaceTime. Even when we was young, I used to make time. Now we be way too busy just to make time. Even for my
real friends, I guess I get what I deserved on her. Word on the streets is they ain't heard from her. I guess I get what I deserved on her. Talk down on my name, throw dirt on her. Couldn't tell you how old your daughter was. Couldn't tell you how old your son is. I got my own junior on the way, dog. Plus, I already got one kid.
Couldn't tell you much about the fam, dog. I just showed up for the games, dog.
Maybe 15 minutes, took some pictures with your sister. Merry Christmas, then I'm finished. Then it's back to business. You wanna ask some questions about some real shit? Like, I ain't got enough pressure to deal with. Please don't pressure me with that bill shit.
Cause everybody got them that ain't children. Oh, you been nothing but a friend to me.
Niggas thinking I'm crazy, you defending me. It's funny, I ain't spoke to niggas in centuries. To be honest, dog, I ain't feeling your energy.
Money turn your kin into an enemy. Niggas ain't real as they pretend to be. Looking for
real friends.
Real friends.
How many of us? How many of us are real friends? To real friends, to the real end, to the reals,
fall off,
to the wheels yeah. Don't spin.
Yeah, yeah.
To 3 a.m., calling. How many
real friends?
Just to ask you a question, just to see how you was feeling. How many? For the last, you was frontin'. I hate when a nigga text you like, what's up, fam, hope you good. You say, I'm good, I'm great. The next text, they ask you for something. How many?
What's best for your family, immediate or extended? Any argument, the media extended.
I had a cousin that stole my laptop that I was fucking bitches on. Pay that nigga $250,000 just to get it from him. Real friends. Huh? Real friends. I guess I get what I deserved on her. Word on the streets is they ain't heard from him. I guess I get what I deserved on her. Talk down on my name, throw dirt on them.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasted live from Vancouver on unceded Musqueam
territory. Yes.
I'm Christina.
And I'm Sarah. And you just heard some Kanye from his brand new Good Friday series that was Real Friends. And before that, you had No More Parties in LA with featuring Kanye. Kendrick Lamar. Yes, they're back. And he is still trolling Kim Kardashian hilariously, which is so funny to me. Mm-hmm. So, we've had a really good week this week.
If the week starts on Sunday, or if the week starts on Monday.
Either way, it's been wicked for us.
So, on Sunday, we got to check out an event at Highcroft Manor. It was called Tales and Treasures.
And it was presented by the Smock Society, which is the Society for the Museum of Original Costume.
And fashion historian Ivan Sayers was there, and he hosted it. And so it was at Highcroft Manor, which is just the most perfect venue for it. It's this beautiful, historic Edwardian mansion in Shaughnessy.
It was designed by Thomas Hooper, and the construction was completed in 1911. So it's so beautiful.
It's historic.
Yeah.
And it was perfect because the show was all about historic and vintage garments and accessories.
So the show was about the society's recent acquisitions, which either Ivan purchased or was graciously donated. There was actually a lady in the audience who had donated some of the pieces, so it was nice to see her very visceral reaction as it was her mother's dress. As Ivan got to that dress, it was a really nice moment.
And so it was, he had some mannequins that he started off with, and he went through, there were about 7 or 8 of them, and some of the mannequins were wearing dresses from the Edwardian era, the late 1800s. And he went through, and he would talk about how, like, there was this one dress, and it was a woman's wedding dress. And he had a picture of the woman wearing the wedding dress on her wedding day. And so he had attached it to the mannequin wearing the dress. And next to that mannequin was a bridesmaid dress from the same wedding. And so with each piece, he had the tale behind it, whether it was, you know, how he acquired the piece or a bit about the woman who was wearing the piece. And there were a couple black Edwardian-style dresses. And he was talking about how the women who wore these dresses had come from Nova Scotia, and their grandfather was actually a member of the original House of Parliament of Canada. So it's really cool because Canada's a young country still.
It is.
So to see and hear about that much history of, you know, exact pieces that, you know, these women wore as they went about, you know, these day-to-day, you know, tasks and things. It was cool. It was very different.
And just what I love about it is Ivan is so committed to telling the stories of these pieces, and it's almost like, for him, the stories are more important than the garment themselves. And my favorite piece was there was a scarf, a silk scarf, which at first you don't really, it didn't really catch my eye, but then he explained that it was part of the debutante coming out ball in Paris in 1929, and she had it as part of her outfit. And when you look closer, the patterns are like women dancing, and it was just like the most beautiful thing, things that you just don't see, and a workmanship that is very rare these days, unless you're buying super high-end.
Well, all the vintage pieces as well. I mean, if you do a fair amount of vintage or thrift shopping, you might come across pieces of the same sort of era, depending where you're shopping and that sort of thing. But what I think was especially beautiful about, you know, the way he presented everything was that, yeah, he had the story, you know, whether it was part of a debutante ball or, you know, the granddaughter of Parliament. And if he didn't have a story about the woman who the piece belonged to, he had a story about how he acquired the piece, you know, whether it was through some back and forth negotiations and dealings between him and his collector friends, or if it was just a donation dropped off to the society, or even if, you know, the woman who had dropped it off or donated it to the society was in the audience, she got a bit of a shout out, or just even how he bought it from, you know, a Salvation Army. He would tell, he had details and notes about every single piece. And so we were, you know, wondering, how does he put these looks together? And so, because he had styled and coordinated all these looks with keeping in mind so many different factors. Like, he would definitely keep in mind sort of the year and make sure everything was cohesive and coherent and made sense, that each piece was, you know, occasion appropriate. And then he would work with off-color palette. And so he'd really styled these looks. And he was talking about how sometimes when these pieces are admitted into the society's collection, they become actual artifacts. And once they reach that level and they become artifacts, they can't be worn by any models. They can only be shown on mannequins. So it was really cool to see things from his personal collection that haven't been admitted as artifacts yet, because models could wear them. And he put the looks together so that, you know, if that look called for 3, you know, petticoats or crinolines or corset, the model had all these things on. So you got to see really how a woman would look in these things and how she would walk in these things. So it was definitely a really unique show in that sense.
And he really captured each period, whether it was Victorian or mod, and great models. There was this one young lady named Sheila. And she just killed it with every look. She really became the look. And she did, like, Victorian Bride, and then she did, like, Flapper Girl 20s with the little hat. And, yeah, she did a really good job.
She did 70s. She did a really wide-legged pantsuit. Mm-hmm. And what was really cool was on that printed pantsuit she was wearing, the print, the imagery was actually of, like, a society woman from the 20s. Mm-hmm. And we had just seen Sheila the model wearing a look from the 20s. And then we see her modeling a look from the 70s where her jumpsuit's print is that of the 20s. So seeing that reference in the same show is really cool. But she was a great model. She really embodied every decade that she showed.
There were a lot of great looks from different eras, but what kind of I felt was continual was his selection of pieces that had great fabrics. Silks, furs, velvets, the cape.
There was a beautiful sort of show-stopping cape. It was floor length, black velvet, very dramatic, with pearl embellishments around the collar. It was so gorgeous. What I think was really great about Ivan Sayers hosting the show was that because he is a fashion historian, he would talk a lot about the politics of that era or the greater context that was happening at the time that these clothes were popular. So he talked about how after the war, it was really important for designers to help get the economy going again. And they did that by introducing a new silhouette. So, you know, to be on trend, the silhouette would be so different from the last that the woman would have to go out and go shopping and, you know, be putting that money back into the economy. And silhouettes and designs started to get more voluminous and just include more fabric, you know, making everyone along the way in that production cycle spend more money. So it was really interesting to hear him talk about how there was a greater context for each piece. Even as, you know, okay, the hemlines are getting shorter, what does that mean for the woman wearing this thing? And he touched briefly on a term called beauty by impairment, about how in certain societies and eras, the more impaired a woman seemed by her clothing choices, whether it be high heels or corsets or whatnot, you know, the greater impaired she seemed, the more beautiful that society or era would view her as. So
don't you feel like there's a little bit of that today?
There's so much of that going on today because everyone just lives for the gram. You live for the gram. And if you live for the gram, you're not practical. And you're wearing open-toe shoes in New York in December, which is retarded because it is cold. But, you know, it's beauty by impairment. It's an idea that's been going around forever. And it just seems insane that's still going on because I think what's more beautiful is, like, you know, fashion somewhat driven by function. Because when else are you going to wear your, you know, knee-high boots and that sort of thing? If you can wear open-toe shoes in the summer, why would you wear them in December?
Exactly.
Beauty by impairment in that regard seems like the dumbest shit ever.
Also, this whole notion of such a strict beauty routine, like just constantly being contoured and, you know, bake this for like 20 minutes on your face.
Oh, bake your highlight on?
Yeah, baking. So you bake your face and then...
Is this before or after we strobe?
I have no idea.
That's when you consult the gram and you watch, you know, the hundreds of thousands of tutorials that are on telling you how to bake and strobe.
Basically, and I've been guilty of this, it's just like slap it on, a little more on, mix some colors, slap some shit on, and you're good to go, you know? But I don't know. I'm not down anymore.
Kim Kardashian and Mario's beauty routine showed over 50 steps.
Who can do that?
I think that was just the skin. You know?
Yeah.
That was just prepping the skin.
Wait, there's a time and place, but I think the focus has been on, like, every day. And I feel like that's too much, personally. But to each their own.
I'm ready for this. This idea of beauty by impairment just seems like such an outdated idea still. You know, what was beautiful about the 1920s was that women were coming into their own. And so the silhouette had changed so drastically from, you know, the corsets and the bustles and everything. And it was suddenly just this loose, free silhouette, you know, no structure, no restriction, just these beautiful loose dresses for women to dance and move. And, you know, the hair was short and women were really living for themselves. So, I mean, I think that's really sexy, and it would be great to see more of that. Women just sort of living for themselves, and no more beauty by impairment, no more beauty by impairment via booty injections that blow up. We're seeing all of that today. It shows how little we've progressed in some regards.
Definitely. So, Ivan, he really was able to bring things in and, like, kind of hone in on each era, and he did the last few kind of quickly, like 70s, 80s, and things like that. But I really liked learning about some of the older pieces, and he actually had a diary of
that
a girl.
That diary was crazy. It was, yeah, he had a diary of a young girl. I think she had a really generic name, like Ann Smith or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he read out excerpts of her diary. And what was really cool was so in addition to the mannequins he had styled and the live fashion show that he had hosted, he also had laid about some of his acquisitions, whether they be, you know, this diary that Sarah's mentioning or, you know, wedding dresses and that sort of thing. And audience members could put on some white gloves and pick up things and go through things and read the diary, and he read pieces of the diary to us,
and it was just like surreal things, like her talking about the war and the soldiers kind of arriving somewhere, and then also her going to a Louis Armstrong concert and walking out
and hating it. Yeah, she walked out halfway through.
It's legendary. I love it. She seemed very pessimistic. She seemed very moody. It was funny. She, I mean, Ivan's just really funny as well. The way
Ivan
puts
presented
his spin on things, it's so funny.
He was flipping through it and goes, "Oh, so, and she fought with mom a lot."
But the diary was gifted to her by her mom as well. So, if anybody is interested in more about Smock and Ivan Sayers, you can visit their website, www.smoc.ca. They have events very frequently. Their next one is all about red, color red. So you should check that out. And we will tweet out a link to that as well. But we're going to get into some more music now on CITR 101.9 FM. Here is Ghostface Killah and Bad Bad Not Good with 6 Degrees.
Yeah, yo, and yo, dangerous thoughts, mind of a militia. Bottles of the 150 poured over twisters. Broken bones, the pillars, Staten Island's the illest. The biggest landfillers, we creep like caterpillars. Love razors, dirty guns with a few bodies. Teach niggas how to walk again from the fucking shoddy. 6 cents, 6 pack, 6 degrees of separation. My evil third eye blinks with no hesitation. Dust bags, spoonfuls of sugar help the meddy. Go down smooth and steady, blowing the green deadly. Hemp weed pops, isolated of hash bricks. Needle left stuck in his arm, died of a bad fix. We still rock, still dry drawers on the stove. Got bread from back in the days, it's growing some mold. Tupac's back, my Glock's fat. After the gun spoke, you screaming, "Where my block at?"
Both hands rusty, need a little lotion. That shit don't matter when I mix the color ocean. Smoking on potent, goons bagging up in the living room. Blocking a flat screen while I'm watching Juice. Move your big ass head. My favorite part on Q in the DJ battle. Move a eye scratch. 95 to 95 on the coffee table. Got them selling dimes, still shiny as a nickel. Pistol and designer boxes, shoeboxes and bedrooms. Some got stacks, but most discontinues. What's on the menu? Eat a rapper like butter and a squash. Buck on a nigga with a blade out. Run up in your safe house. How ironic, knock a ring, got a nigga like somebody hit Sonic. Smoking on chronic, but I like Nostradamus. See, dying ain't your future, nigga, I promise. Diamond Collar 7 Series, T-Bone, the World Series, Boston, Mr. Game. Getting sevens on the slot machine. Dice game, fight starter, drunk driving in a charger. With a big titty, bitch, looking like Takara. I don't know what you know, but if you know what I know, you better get ghost before I get ghost. I don't know what you know, but if you
know how I know. You better get ghost for rugged.
Hey, yo, what up, son? They chalking that money on the ground shit. UPS, FedEx, I deliver the pound shit. Raw dog, my hood's like Crazy Eddie stamp bags. Stable to niggas stash their guns and shit bags. Do rags and blue and red flags, we keep new tags. Skinny or big jeans, niggas, they still sag. Brag about 2 chains, 4 chains, 6 chains. Spread eagle bitches in the crib, giving brains still. Keep them clocks crispier than printed money. In the champion gear that I rock, will hide my face for me. Mask down, 357 in the box of shells. Seen Veil dead army kid in the stairwell. Stem cell, my niggas are scientific. We make crumbs and wax, the THC is prolific. Fruitful, my clan bundle cash like Pablo. Banked in the Cayman, stairs house is out in Cabo.
When I buy something or find something or something has been given to me, it depends on what it is, of course. If it's an accessory, then I do start to think what I have at home that will make that object useful. If it's a principal garment, it works the opposite, where I think, ah, I have the right shoes, I have the right hats, I have the right person who can wear it, because the person wearing it is as important as the object or the accessories. Different clothes will look completely different on a second person. So you have to be open to what comes your way. If you look for something specific, you won't find it. You have to let chance take charge to a degree.
And so what are some things that you keep in mind when you're collecting?
Personally, when I'm collecting, my real thing is history. rather than clothing as such. So the clothing is my medium to discuss and illustrate history. So therefore, I always want the oldest things I can get my hands on. That's what's the most appealing to me. My men's things go back to the 1730s, the women's things back to the 1750s. It doesn't mean that I turn my nose up at modern things, but if it's modern, it has to have some extra quality to it that makes it worth spending the money or giving it the space. I have so much stuff. I have a three-bedroom house and I sleep in the dining room because there's no room for me anywhere else. So if it's modern, it has to be, it has to be exceptionally attractive or exceptionally ugly. It has to be by a famous person. It has to have a historical reference that makes it of some value beyond the obvious. So as a collector, you have all sorts of rules and regulations, but they vary. So I don't know if that answers the question or not. I think it does. Mm-hmm.
So everything we saw here today, except for the bathing suit, is women's wear.
Yes.
Is men's wear something that you're interested in?
Yes, I do have a collection of men's things. As I said, the oldest men's things. I have three men's coats. Two English and one Dutch one that are from the 1730s. I have half a dozen other men's principal garments. By that I mean a coat or something important that are 18th century. The men's stuff tends to be more difficult to find, especially of any age. Men tend to wear their clothing out. Women tend to be more sentimental, and there's also pressure on women to have variety, the sense that they must appear in something new as frequently as possible. A man buys a suit and he expects to wear it until it's no longer fresh, and then he wears it to work in. Certainly in the past that was the case, but now it's a little bit more, you buy one suit and you think that's it forever because you wear casual clothing for 90% of your life. When I get the chance to buy or find men's things, I certainly do. We'll eventually have to do a major exhibition of men's clothing. And we have, in some of the fashion shows, we do include men. I have two or three young male friends now that are seriously collecting. And since they're collecting things primarily to wear, it's a lot easier to put a fashion show together. With the women's things, I have thousands of pairs of shoes and hundreds of hats. With the men's, I probably have 75 hats. And 100 pairs of shoes. So to get them that fit the person, that you have all the bits and pieces for a particular time period, but it's not just the period that they're from, but it's also the time of day, the function. You don't wear a work suit to a formal dinner. You don't wear what you wear to a formal dinner to the opera. So to get all the component pieces, to get them to fit the model, it's more difficult with the men's stuff.
Something you said during your presentation was it's all about the stories.
Uh-huh.
And they are so interesting. So with that, do you always request the stories when you're
Yes.
making donations?
If I can. If the donor knows the story, a lot of time they don't. Or you're buying from an anonymous source, such as a store, or you're collecting from a theater, where it's been put into the wardrobe, and maybe they knew who gave it to them in the first place, but many times they don't. But the stories are really, really important. I have a lot of things that came from Shanghai, but they're actually made in Europe. But in the 30s, there was a huge European presence in Shanghai. The fact that Shanghai was a stopping off point for those people on their way through to Vancouver. That's interesting. How and why did they come here?
And can you describe your dream museum for us?
A truly fantastic museum situation for me would be a museum of two different levels, where the most important clothing could be treated as artifacts and where it would be seen as display items where you talk about the stories, you talk about history, the history of technology, sewing machines, the production of fabrics, dyes, printing processes, of all of those things. That's what you illustrate there. But then also a sort of a subcategory where we could have a collection of either reproduction clothes or clothing that wasn't all that important, which could be used for the live fashion shows. The fashion shows are fun. It gets people fired up. That's the show part of it. So you have sort of the sacred and the profane, if you want to be a bit arty about it. But things which are truly educational as opposed to things which are more entertainment. And there's room for both. History is interesting. Learning things is fun. It's not a painful process. I remember being in school, though, and learning about battles and things, and all the teachers would tell you would be names and dates. Nowadays, it's better because of television and the web and whatnot. They have movies. They have documentaries on the web that show you the actual battle scenes, even if it's after the fact. But it does make it more real. And so when we do the live fashion shows, that's sort of what it is. It is making history more real. It comes to life.
And you mentioned the term beauty by impairment.
Yes.
What era was that?
Well, I don't know whether I made that up myself or not, but I think actually it's a phrase that's in a book called English Women's Clothing in the 19th Century, written by a man named Cunnington, C. Willett Cunnington. He and his wife wrote probably about 9 books in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s on the history of English clothing for men and for women. And he, I'm quite sure that it's in his introduction to his first book. But Beauty by Impairment is a very understandable concept, and we still see it with high-heeled shoes and fabrics which are pastels or things that can get caught, like lace. You can't wear fur in the rain, except in Vancouver, but because it'll get ruined and so on and so forth. But that's part of why you wear them, because it does set you apart. It means that it's a special event, and the implication is that this woman is a special woman. So it has its value, as long as it's kept under control. When it is so overwhelming that it's not healthy. The high heels are supposedly very bad for you. They're bad for your legs, they're bad for your posture and so on. And not to condemn any tradition, but the Chinese tradition of foot binding is not a good thing. There were problems, medical problems, that it would often happen because of infections, because the feet were so closely bound all the time. A lot of times the air didn't circulate and whatnot. But the reality is that sometimes the girls had to have their bones broken in their feet. And the truth is, they couldn't walk. No one, if at all possible, should be restricted in that way. And there are people who are not going to be able to walk. It's a medical thing. But when it's imposed, that's not right. So in that case, it's a bad thing.
And in Vancouver, what can people do to get involved with the society?
First thing you do is buy a membership. And there are different categories for membership. We try to keep it as cheap as possible, so it's as affordable as possible. We want to have as many people involved as we can. There are these functions that we do. We always need volunteers to help move things in and out and up and down and so on. People can help with the fashion shows. They can help with selling tickets. As we expand, there will be more opportunities. We do have to try and improve the numbers of people on the board. Ideally, we're supposed to have 13 people on the board. I think we have 8 at the moment. But then once the board is filled, there's also the option of having committees. So in other words, there should be a committee that looks after the volunteers themselves. There should be a committee that will help whoever on the board is going to do with the, deal with fundraising. And that means getting together, having meetings, coming up with ideas. But it also means things like addressing envelopes, perhaps, taking flyers around to the vintage clothing stores and leaving, asking if the proprietor will have a stack of them on the counter. If you leave 50 or 100, it might mean we only sell five more tickets, but it's five more tickets. I say all the time, I don't like speaking to empty chairs. We did not have very many empty chairs today. That's good. Spreading the word. The truth is, I will be 70 this year, and I've been doing this since I was 20. There will come a time when I cannot do this anymore, and somebody has to take over. Not that I'm doing it all, by any means. We have a very, very good board and the volunteers and everything. But the truth is, I do the fashion shows. And we need more people who might want to get involved with those. And eventually we need to have someone who's trained to be a curator, who will manage the collection, both the society's collection, but mine as well, because there will come a time when my collection will go to the society. That's why we can build a big museum. My collection, Klaus's collection, Melanie's collections, all of those collections have to have a home eventually. And when that time comes, we can have a museum that will just knock your socks off. It will be spectacular. So, what group are you with?
We're with the Screen Girls.
Life. it's 11 o'clock.
That's been our show this week. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you to Ivan Sayers and the SMOC organization. You can visit them, www.smoc.ca, and you can follow us at The Screen Girls on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and you can follow CITR on Facebook at CITR 101.9 FM, and we will see you soon. Have a great week. Yes.
Adios, amigos.
Amigos.